Our text this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their lives for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?" Let's spend a moment in silence and let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and we place into your hands our time together. We want to bow down before you. We want to declare that you are Lord. So, Father, I pray for all of us that may your Holy Spirit help us to be focused upon you the next half an hour or so, so we can receive what you have prepared for us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. You don't have to answer, but just to think about it. What is your most precious possession? What is your most precious possession? Your house? Your car? Your family? Your dog? Your cat? Your profession? I like cars, and that's the reason why I started checking. There are many things in the world that are precious to people. And then I found out that in this 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO was sold in £22 million in Mexico. It's real. I was checking it in Monterrey. And, well, the owner was from here, from the UK, so the guy really wanted it. That was precious. It's very precious. I would not pay that amount of money, but somebody did. It's precious to this person. Certainly, maybe women, you have something precious, a bag, a necklace, I don't know. I have something precious when I just finished my training. You know, when you are young and you have your wages look like you are a millionaire, you know, and then that was when I was single. I was just starting my life, you know, earning money. And this was my most precious possession. But not that one, okay? That was a Fiat 600. And that was precious to me. You know, I bought it from a friend who had an accident. And it was there. I can get that. And then I built it with my friends. And we painted. And that sweet sound when the engine started. Wow. And then it was, you know, that was my most precious possession. But I don't know you. But Jesus. Oh, by Jesus. But Jesus is clear to say, your most precious possession is your soul. Your most precious possession is your soul. Your soul is worth more than all the money the banks have. Your soul is so precious because it's endless, it's timeless. That car is no anymore. I don't know where it is now because I sold it. But your soul will exist long after your physical life is over. One day, we have to die. We don't want to talk about that. Your soul is precious. And nobody can move a soul from hell to heaven. That is a lie. When we die, is it? We don't have more chance. And that is the reality. I love preachers like Billy Graham that they said,
Look after your soul. Your soul will exist longer. Even when this world is going to end, your soul will be forever. This is a true, it's an important truth. Our text this morning warned us, you know, that Jesus says in Matthew 16, you say, why shall I profit a man or a woman if he or she gains the whole world and loses her soul or his soul? What shall a man do to exchange his soul, her soul? Nothing. Our text this morning is all about discipleship. You go and open the Bible and check, you do the exegesis, and it's about discipleship. But here, I feel there is a call to be faithful disciples. Now, this word disciples is a little bit, you misunderstand the word disciples. The word disciples in the New Testament captures the idea of a lifelong follower, faithful follower, not a temporary follower. It's 24/7 lifelong commitment to keep learning from Jesus, not just a believer. You know, for me, that's the problem of the church. We don't have 24/7 disciples. We don't have 24/7 faithful disciples. We have part-time disciples. And yet, we are Christians on Monday or Sunday, and then Wednesday, we are not Christians anymore. Even ministers. We need to be faithful. Faithful disciples. Because if we are faithful disciples, we are going to make disciples who are going to be faithful. People are watching us. You know, if you're going to study medicine, you're going to be a scientist, you're going to be an astronaut, you are sold out. That's the reason why, you know, when you go to the armed forces, I am sold out. I didn't belong to myself. I am sold out. I am going to heaven. I am sold out to Jesus. I am 24/7. And now here in this passage, we have a teaching. And the first thing is that we need to confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the first thing. We need to confess that Jesus is Lord. In Matthew, when we read in the verses, I don't know, it's not working, the PowerPoint. Mark chapter 8, I start reading from verse 27. Can you put it on, please? Mark chapter 8, verse 27. We read what is happening before. Jesus says to his disciples, and went on to, you know, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around, Caesarea, Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do you people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say the prophet. What about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And the context here is that Jesus is taking his disciples along. He wanted to have time with them. He has been with the 5,000. You read before the 5,000. A lot of people. He wanted to check where they were. And he said, well, what do people say I am? And he wanted to ask this question in a private place. And people said that they took it to this Roman village, and this was a wicked place. In this place, they have human sacrifices. So perhaps some commentators said, maybe Jesus said, the Jews, they will not come here, so we are going to have private time. And they say, well, people say, you are this, you are that. Who do you say I am? It's the same question Jesus is asking you. Who do you say I am? And maybe there was a silence. And as usual, Peter. I love Peter. Because I'm like him, making mistakes. You know, when you are in a classroom and some people, nobody say anything, somebody said, that was Peter. And Peter answered the question. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The first thing we need to do is to proclaim with our mouth. And you grew up maybe In church, maybe your grandma was a Christian, your grandfather, your parents, your neighbors. You grew up the pastor preaching, the priest preaching, the vicar preaching. Maybe people tell you about Jesus, but Jesus is asking, what do you think about me? And we need to face that question. Oh, I grew up in a Christian family and all that. No, the question is, who do you say I am? Since the beginning of the church, that was the question asked. Who do you say I am? In Easter time, we're going to have a baptism service. I'm going to be asking that question. That's the declaration that the people, they have to answer that question. And Peter's answer, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Some scholars call it is the first principle of Christian faith. That is the first thing we are to do. It's the first principle of the Christian faith. We think about, we live in a time that everything is easy. But in this time, every Roman citizen was required to pay annual taxes and confess, Caesar is Lord. And these radical disciples refused, instead they confess, Jesus is Lord. That is the first principle of the Christian faith. Who do you say I am? Jesus is asking you this morning. But the second thing is that we need to remove our ego from the throne of our lives. You know, Jesus told them not to say anything. The disciples have to learn something else. And then he started telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I have to go through this. And then the hard teaching has started. You know, before he was talking about, you know, healings and the miracles. But now he said, this is my road. And now for the very first time, he just is open to say what is going to happen. And then Peter is saying, whoa, you don't have to do that. What are you talking about? So Peter looks like as if he cares about Jesus, but he is not. Because Jesus turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He said, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And Jesus goes on to explain the real mark of a Christian. He says to the crowd, he's having this private conversation with his disciples, with Peter. And now I like verse 34 because he said, then he called what? The crowd. Everyone, he says, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves. If anyone wants to come after me, he or she must deny himself or herself. After Peter made this powerful confession, now he got it wrong. He's on top of the class, now he's on the bottom. And I said, Peter didn't want to suffer. Peter didn't want to hear about death. Peter didn't want to be on the losing team. Come on, I am with the Son of the Living God. I am with the Creator. And that's what happens in churches sometimes. We don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to talk about wrath of God. We don't want to talk about suffering. Hence, churches who preach prosperity, they are full of people. And that comes from the ego of Peter. A disciple of Jesus have to say, it's not about me, it's about you. Somebody said that ego is edging God out. And that's what Peter is doing. And that's what some churches are doing. We are edging God out and we become something else. The third thing Jesus, the teaching goes deeper and deeper. And he said that we need to apply the invariable law of Christian life. By the way, this is not my idea. This is Charles Erdman's. It is a very old Bible commentary. He called it the invariable law of Christian life. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. But the cross is offensive. It's nice to sing about the cross, but it was offensive. And maybe in our time where humanism is everywhere, some people could think, well, the death of Christ was not necessary. That was politically incorrect. The cross is what Paul preached. The cross is what we need to preach. Then Jesus turned to the multitudes, the crowd who were near to him. To them he declares the invariable law of Christian life. Whoever decides to come after me have to deny himself and take up his cross. Deny himself doesn't mean that we are. Somebody said, my cross is my husband. Somebody said, my cross is my wife. My cross are my children. Or my cross is this illness. That's not. Jesus is saying, you need to die. Freddie needs to die. Owen needs to die. Ian needs to die. When a person has a cross, it was only one way. What was it? Death. We have very nice cross and we lose the plot. We have lost the plot. One of the pictures I like in Easter, but not like, but makes me to reflect, is the picture of the two criminals next to Jesus. And maybe you hear me repeating and repeating because it's true. One criminal wants to continue with his life. Come on, Jesus, save us. Hey, are you no power? Save us. And the other criminal said, what are you talking about? And maybe he sees the people around, the other criminals, the other members of the gang. And he said, well, is he weak? You know, what's happening? He doesn't care about that. He said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. He doesn't care about the rest. Maybe there are some prostitutes or women around. Maybe he's showing his weaknesses. He doesn't care. Jesus, remember me. He's there. And that's all about. This man have to go to church? He never went to church. This man was baptized? He wasn't baptized. He just confessed, surrendered his life to Jesus. The invariable law of Christian life. What is it? Take up your cross. You cannot change it. We cannot change it. This German pastor, when I read his story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said the cross is God's truth about us, and therefore it is the only power which can make us truthful. You say that you are born again, but that means that you are dead. When we are crucified with Christ, we are like that thief. We no longer care about the people around us. But there is something else. Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you deny yourself, take out your cross, and follow me. Follow me. Follow Jesus means that means that where he leads us, we go. What he asks, we do. When Brian, my son, was very little, and I noticed something. Sometimes wife says the husband, we don't notice anything. We do notice sometimes. Okay? So and I noticed that my Brian was little. He started imitating me. He will come to church, dress like me, and very elegant, and now he dressed better than me. And I noticed, Then I noticed that because I play instruments, I know quite good, like some of the musicians we are here. You are very, very good, very. He started to play instruments. And he's better than me. You know, he plays drums, he plays, guitar. But he cannot sing like me. Okay, that's. and I said, oh. And I noticed the way I speak, he will do it. So I have to be careful what I say. We came to England, and And he was about 5 when we came. And he started to learn English. He speaks better than me. He speaks better English than me. You see my point? Moms, dad, your children are watching you. Neighbors, your friends in university, in college, they are watching you. They will follow your steps. So if we are not dead, and there were times when, you know, I have my friends, and suddenly I said, oh, Brian. But not only Brian, my children, but I noticed Brian, it was, you know. Follow me. But sometimes we made a mistake that we don't leave our ego. The Lord is not our God. Faith is not merely you holding on to God. It is God holding on to you. He will not let you go. God will carry on. God will be with you. There were times that sometimes maybe in your faith you said, He is not calling us to be perfect. I will never be perfect like God. But you see, God is able to judge us on the basis of our desire and our direction rather than on our actual performance. I love these stories like Peter or the King David. You know what is the? I love this, how the Bible called, we read about David. He says, David was a man after his own heart. Beautiful. I would love to hear that from my Lord, that I am a man after his own heart. And yet David was a criminal. David was a liar. And David, well, David, he was something else. But David, his heart was on the right place. And that's my last point this morning. There is a warning here. There is a warning. We need to set our priorities right. When we decide to be disciples of Jesus, as Peter described last week, we talked about that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to look after our bodies. We need to look after our jobs, our families. We need to look after, what is the most important? Our soul. So Jesus is saying, hey, you need to take extra care of your soul. You need to examine yourselves. You need to set your priorities right. And I don't know, you know, I always like to write in order not to make a mistake. But I'm going to paraphrase what Spurgeon was saying. You know, some people said, okay, my priority is right. I detest goal. And goal is rubbish. Goal is just dust. I want to get it off all. My heart is just with Jesus. And then I'm going to throw the goal that I may have in my life. So Charles Spurgeon responded, okay, if that is what you're going to do, tell me when you are going to do it. I'm going to collect it because we need it in church. You see, sometimes some people go the other way around. So spiritual. We need to have the right balance. I want my children to do well in their careers. I need to work. I need to spend time, you know, having relaxing time. But we need to have our priorities right. That is what Jesus, it seems to me, he is telling us. Charles Spurgeon says, consider how precious a soul must be when both God and the devil are after it. You never heard that God was seeking after a crown, did you? No, he thinks little of dominions, but he is after souls every day. He's after your soul, my friend, this morning. And his Holy Spirit is seeking his children. And Christ came to say, soul. Christ came to save your soul. Christ came not to make you feel better or make a nice person, a nice neighbor, a nice citizen of this country. No, your soul is precious. We know by the price Christ paid for it, said Charles Spurgeon. Not with silver or gold, but with his own flesh and blood did he redeem it. That is your soul. Don't waste it. Don't lose it. Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses or surrender to me for the sake of the gospel will save it. Some people don't know that they have a soul. They don't care about their soul. It's sad. We care about, well, you know, our careers. What is the last mobile phone we have? What is the best holiday? Jesus said, what good is for a man to gain the whole world just for faith? His or her soul. That's a frightening thought, because it means you can be rich and famous and popular. You can be at the top of your career ladder and come to the end of your life, and God has said, it's rubbish. It came to nothing, my friend. If the soul is lost, the whole person is lost. You cannot make a deal with God. When you are dead, it's finished. There is no more chance. There will be no crossing from hell to heaven. When you forfeit your soul, my friends, you will never get it back. What is your most precious possession? Your soul. And the real question is not, sometimes some people say, I don't want to get closer. You know, I'm going to be called, I'm a freak, I'm a fanatic. I'm going to say, well, it is the real question that every person in the end will have to face is not, what do people think of this? Are you going to lose your friends? Lose your friends. Are you going to lose a business? Lose your business. Your soul. Your soul. The real question, and that question is, what does God think of it? It's not the public opinion, like, you know, what people can say about you. Well, our warning is that there is a danger that a person can sacrifice eternity for a moment. There is a call to be faithful. Many things are pleasant for a moment, but disastrous and catastrophic in the long run. The test of eternity is this test of seeking to see the things as God sees it. God has something precious for you. Are you in trouble this morning? God has something precious for you. And it's only when the person sees things as God sees them, will never spend his life on the things that lose his or her soul. Are you a faithful disciple of Jesus? Do you believe and have confessed that Jesus is Lord? Have you removed your ego? It breaks my heart when I go to churches and I see that we, as members of the church, we are sending people to hell. People say, I don't want to change. God made me like this. This is the way I am. My friend, let's not send people to hell. We need to change. Examine yourself. I have to examine myself. It's a frightening thought that when I saw my son, I know that maybe the mistakes I do in my life, he's going to make mistakes like that, maybe. See, and the good things I do, he's going to be better. Remember Jesus' warning. They are watching what are our priorities. Is the church is second, God is third, they will do it. They will do it, my friend. How you talk about your church, talk about your Sunday school teachers, brothers and sisters, the ministers, and everything, it will affect. What is your most precious possession? Your soul. There is a calling to be faithful disciples. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your table this morning, help us to remember that you are a faithful God. But Father, help us to be faithful. Forgive us when we etch you out of our lives with our ego. Forgive us when we don't confess that you are the Lord of our lives. And forgive us when we don't want to take up our cross. We don't want to deny ourselves. And we want to follow our own ideas. And we don't follow you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful disciples for your glory. Father, I pray for that person this morning. that hasn't declared that you are his Lord, her Lord, that they will be able to do it. Touch his heart, touch her heart. So she can understand, he can understand that his soul, her soul, is the most important. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.